The following is a recording for Juan Carlos Gomez-Stoll. Excuse me, everyone, and thank you for your patience in holding. This conference call will start momentarily. Please stay on the line. Again, thank you for your patience in holding. This conference call will start momentarily. Please stay on the line. Welcome to the Unison Fourth Quarter 2015 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Juan Carlos Gomez-Stoll of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Unifin Financiera's earnings call. This morning, the senior management team of Unifin will discuss the company's fourth quarter and 2015 consolidated results for the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact the investor relations team at Unifin or Advising New York at 212-406-3692, and we will send you a copy immediately. During this call, management's comments may include forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions that may differ materially. We ask that you refer to this disclaimer in the press release as guidance on these matters. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Luis Barroso González, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. José María Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, Mr. Gerardo Mier Iterán, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Pernas, Investor Relations Officer. I will now turn the call over to José María Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer of Unifin, who will give the company's presentation. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today to discuss Unifin's fourth quarter and year-end 2015 results. Let me start with some of the highlights of our operational and financial performance, and at the end of my comments, we will open the floor for questions. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth quarter continued the positive momentum we saw throughout the year, and help us close 2015 as one of the most important years in the history of the company, driven by both quantitative and qualitative results. Our portfolio growth was extraordinary in the fourth quarter 2015, and by the end of the year, our total operating portfolio was 19 billion pesos, up 64% from the close of 2014. During the fourth quarter 2015, our portfolio generated total income of 1.9 billion pesos, a 46% increase compared to the fourth quarter 2014, and net income reached 238 million pesos, representing 52% higher than during the same quarter last year. Let us talk briefly about demand, which was the engine of our profitability and the outstanding growth rates we experienced during 2015. The strong demand of our services comes from a healthy and diversified portfolio of over 4,000 clients across Mexico. At the start of 2015, we were conservative with our growth expectations, given the challenging market conditions prevalent at the time. Although the Mexican economy continued to grow during the year, We cautiously reacted positively to the very strong SME demand, adopting an operating strategy based on prudence, carefully managing credit risk by tightening the criteria to approve new leasing contracts. Although the approval ratios decreased, demand for Unifin services was significant throughout the year, which is evidenced by our current backlog equivalent to approximately 27 billion pesos. At the close of 2015, approximately 83% of our client base had approved credit lines for up to 7.5 million pesos, and the largest client represented only 2% of the total portfolio. As we have discussed in the past, Unifin has minimal exposure to any particular industry or sector and participates in mining, commerce, electricity, transportation, energy-related services, construction, capital goods, medical, among many others. To respond to this solid demand, we opened three new sales offices during the fourth quarter of 2015, one in Veracruz, another one in Mérida, and the last one in León. We expect to open five new offices in 2016. These offices may either serve as extension or satellite offices to our current locations. Such a potential offices could be in Toluca and in the Mexico City area. We are also considering opening rep offices in Ciudad del Carmen, Campeche, Villahermosa, or San Luis Potosí. At the end of the fourth quarter, 2015, operating leases made up to 73% of our total portfolio and 91% of our revenue. The operating leases portfolio balance grew 55% year over year. The factoring portfolio continued growing at solid rates. It now represents 11% of the total portfolio balance and increased 64% compared to 1 year ago. The auto and other loans portfolio balance increased 117% year over year and represents 16% of our total portfolio. The non-performing loan ratio at the end of 2015 was 0.59% compared to 0.61% 1 year ago. This ratio demonstrates the company's high-quality portfolio and sound financial health. 2015 was an important year for the company, both, like I mentioned before, from a quantitative as well as qualitative standpoint. During this time, we had Unifin's initial public offering, the opening of three regional offices, rating upgrades by Standard & Poor's, Fitch, and HR ratings, and lastly, we received notable awards such as Socially Responsible Company, Best Place to Work, Number One Leasing Company in America, in Latin America, and Entrepreneur of the Year. One of the most important accomplishments we had during 2015 was the successful completion of our IPO on May 22nd, raising over $200 million. We used the proceeds to support and consolidate the company's operational growth and finance its working capital, increasing its new portfolio origination in line with its long-term growth plans. During the fourth quarter of 2015, the company approved that any employee with 5 or more years of service at Unifin may join the stock incentive plan program. It is important to highlight that to grow our portfolio, our main source of funding continues to be the securitization of our leasing portfolio as the most efficient source of working capital, given that securitizations are non-recourse and are the most affordable source of funding. Although, during the fourth quarter of 2015, no securitizations took place, the company issued its 11th securitization at the end of the third quarter of 2015, and its 12th recently on February 12, 2015, obtaining a total of 4.5 billion pesos. All securitizations have obtained AAA ratings by Standard & Poor's, H&R ratings, and Fitch ratings. I'm very proud to say that Unifin has a very strong policy regarding the cost of and sources of funding. Rating agencies' upgrades received during the year following the IPO have helped Unifin maintain good levels of interest expense, also helping improve our financial margin. During 2016, we will continue to explore favorable funding alternatives to help grow Unifin. Depending on the market conditions prevalent, either by using additional securitizations or approaching the debt capital market. We currently have outstanding debt in U.S. dollars for an amount of $366 million from the high-yield bond issued in 2014, which has been fully hedged in principal and interest since the issuance date and until maturity. Moving now on to our financial performance, let us discuss our results for the fourth quarter of 2015. Total revenues reached 1.9 billion pesos during the fourth quarter 2015, a 46% increase compared to the same period of 2014 on a full year basis. Total revenues increased 45% to 6.6 billion pesos year over year, mainly driven by growth in the company's origination volume on all of its products. Our fourth quarter 2015 financial margin was 493 million pesos, equal to 27% of total revenues, compared to 307 million in the fourth quarter 2014, or 24% of total revenues. The financial margin achieved in 2015 was 1.8 billion pesos, equal to 28% of total revenues. This quarter, we also achieved efficiencies in our operation, improving our efficiency ratio from 49.5% in 2014 to 39.5% at year end. Operating expenses represented 11% of our total revenues, an improved figure when compared to the 12% reported in 2014. This improvement was the net effect of Unifin's tight cost controls in administrative expenses, partially offset by increased compensation expenses related to its larger sales force and variable compensation due to increase in the origination volumes. Moving on to the operational performance during the fourth quarter 2015, our operating income reached 242 million pesos, slightly above 238 million pesos in the same quarter 2014. I would like to highlight that during the fourth quarter of 2014, we had an extraordinary income for 99 million pesos, and the recurring income from the company's operation for said quarter was 139 million pesos, which compared to the fourth quarter 2015 operating income, this will represent an increase of 74% in this item. Finally, Unifin's net income in the fourth quarter 2015 was 238 million pesos, up 52% from 157 million pesos achieved in the fourth quarter 2014. Again, this result is completely explained by operations and excludes extraordinary non-recurring items. For the full year 2015, net income was 1.1 billion pesos, up 127% year over year. The results from both 2015 and 2014 include income of 232 million pesos and 98 million pesos respectively. In 2015, the extraordinary gains came from the repurchase of $33.4 million of our bond and the mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swap during the first 9 months of the year, before changing the accounting treatment of such derivatives to derivatives of hedging purposes. The extraordinary gains reported for the year 2014 resulted from three items. First, the sale of 51% of Unifin Agente de Seguros y Fianzas. Second, a reversion on the allowance made for a factoring account recovered in full in June 2014. And lastly, the mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swap during the fourth quarter of 2014. Excluding these non-recurring gains, our net income improved from 385 million pesos in 2014 to 862 million pesos in 2015, a 124% increase. Let us discuss now some of the balance sheet items. Unifin closed 2015 with 1.5 billion pesos of available cash and equivalents and approximately 15.1 billion pesos of available funding facilities. At the close of 2015, non-bank debt represented 13.5 billion pesos, which includes 7.0 billion pesos of our leasing ABSs and the international note issue in 2014. The total bank debt was 5.5 billion pesos. Total net debt position resulted in a financial leverage ratio of 2.8 times compared to 5.5 times 1 year ago. This ratio is calculated as financial liabilities, excluding securitizations over shareholders' equity. The improvement in the ratio is mainly driven by a capital increase from the IPO proceeds. Summing up, our financial performance of the recent quarters at the close of 2015, Unifin's ROA was 5%, up from 4% September 2014. And its ROE was 30% compared to 36% 1 year ago. I would like to close our remarks by mentioning that by the end of 2015, we successfully accomplished the ambitious goals we set at the start of the year, notwithstanding the adverse environment and difficulties prevalent across industrialized and developing economies. Unifin has weathered some of the volatility as its business focused on Mexico's small and medium business sector, which continues to grow and remains largely unattended. Our prudent strategy yields benefits and strong profitability for the company. We expect to continue meeting and exceeding the expectations of our shareholders during 2016. This will conclude the presentation. Thank you all for your attention, and at this point, we can move on to your questions. Operator, please proceed with the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key that is star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Again, that is star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We are now holding for questions. Once again, we are now holding for questions. At this time, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Bruno Zintana from Credit Suisse.
Hello. First of all, I'd like to congratulate all the management team for the amazing results posted in 2015, as well as for the assertiveness of the capital deployment strategy. My first question is regarding interest expenses. We saw an increase of 46% in interest expenses this quarter, although somehow in line with revenue growth. I would like to know how you see this evolution of interest expenses going forward, as well as increase of 24% in G&A, administration promotion expenses. What can we expect for 2016 in this line, please?
Well, as you all know, Bruno, the interest rate just went up 50 basis points. We expect since December, when the rates went up 25 basis points, We decided in January to increase our rates, our active rates for the client 100 basis points. So we believe that interest expenses for the year 2016 may remain in accordance to what we've been showing during the past quarters. We believe we can translate those increases in the rates to our clients as the new origination keeps on marching.
That's perfect. That's very clear. And do you see this impacting somehow volumes? And the other question would be on G&A expenses, if you can, please.
I beg your pardon, what was the last part?
On G&A, on administrative and promotional expenses, which we saw an increase of 24% this year. I'm not sure if they are regarding to the expansion of office. If you could clarify a bit on that, that would
sure.
be great.
Okay, remember that our offices are self-offices. They're not branches. So those expenses are minimal, are not really material, because usually those offices are built up with a team of at the most 3 to 5 people. So usually the expense right there is the salaries of those people and the variable compensations that they will register regarding the new origination they perform. So we believe that the expenses will remain the same, and as we've been continuing trying to tighten all those expenses. So I would say we will remain with the same type of expenses for the next coming months.
That's perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, we are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Dan Furtado, investor.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I just had a question on how to think about the tax rate for 2016. I know there was a lot of volatility in it in 2015, and so how should we approach that for this coming year?
Okay, this is a very good question regarding the taxes. We have to remind you that we have a depreciation process that takes into account 20% depreciation for all our assets. If you compare that depreciation to the fiscal rates that have to be registered, we always have deferred taxes favorable to the company. And especially when you have an important amount of equipment leased. So we can expect for this year, probably a yearly rate of like 23% to 24% in a tax rate.
Excellent. Thank you. And so, is a way to think about that, it's not going to be, you know, exactly 23 to 24. It's going to fluctuate from quarter to quarter.
Sure.
On quarters when you deploy more equipment, that tax rate will be, the effective tax rate will be lower, and vice versa, or am I not thinking about that correctly?
That is correct. That is correct.
Okay.
What you just mentioned is what happens usually.
Okay, and then so when I think about the seasonality of your business, is the fourth quarter, I assume, is probably the heaviest from a seasonal perspective, or how should I think about seasonality over the course of the year?
Listen, seasonality we usually don't have. However, remember that we are focused on the SME market. And there's some times of the year when the decision-making process it's slower than it should be. For instance, December, usually we have only 2 weeks of operating decisions from the companies we serve. And, for instance, this first quarter of 2016, we're going to have to understand and be careful, because during March, we have the vacation period of Holy Week and Easter Week. So usually there are 2 weeks there that might be very low on decision-making process from the owners of the company. This quarter, probably we will have to take into consideration close to 3 weeks of non-performing from the companies we serve. Firstly, because in January, most of the companies really start working on the 11th of January. And now with the Holy Week expecting for the end of March, that would probably make us also to take into consideration those non-operating days.
Got it.
But answering your, we don't have really a seasonality in our process.
Right, understood. Okay, well, thank you for the questions. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, please press star 1 at this time if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from John Hall from Mizzou.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for the call and congrats.
Thank you, John.
I just wanted to follow up on a few quick items, and I apologize if I'm making – I got on the call a little late, so I apologize if I'm making you repeat yourself. Did you provide guidance or any thoughts on growth for 2016 and what you're seeing locally? Could you just let me know that?
Well, John, as you know, we don't give any guidance, and we will continue growing the way we've been doing it. On the other hand, on the local issues, we believe that all the measures taken by the government recently are pretty healthy. And we believe that this is due to a good macroeconomic results from the past. The shortening of the expense for the government, it's a disciplinary measure that we agree upon it. So we believe that 2016 might be a very good year.
Okay, so could we see potentially similar growth that we saw between 15 and 14?
Let's hope so.
Okay.
Okay.
Just want to confirm just a few quick things. All your hedging, all your interest payments and principal payments have been hedged on the bond.
Yes, correct. Sir. Indeed.
100%. There's no other 100%. U.S. dollar exposure in terms of debt?
Yeah, we have a line of credit with Comerica Bank for $10 billion. That's completely hedged also.
$10
million. $10 million, yes.
USD. What's the rate on that?
I don't recall at this moment, but I'll get you back. If I remember, it's in pesos, it's TIIE plus 350 basis.
Is there a tenor?
It's 1 year tenor.
Okay.
It's your turn.
Last question, just a final confirmation on something. You originally issued $400 million of the bonds. You guys
yes.
bought some of them back in first quarter last year. Can you just confirm the amount and you canceled them, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we did. The amount was $33.4 million.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from David LaPierre from Bloomberg.
Hi, thanks for the call and congratulations on the strong results. I know your non-performing loan ratio is very low still, but just wondering if there are any sectors of the economy or any industries or any geographic areas you're watching closely that you might want to share. And also, I was just wondering if you could remind us of your leverage target and where you are versus that.
Okay. Thank you, David. I think our non-performing loan ratio is low because we don't have any concentration in any sector. And also, due to the high-quality analysis that we provide on the credit area. also our origination. And if you recall, last after the second quarter of the year, we started with a prudent strategy regarding our credit risk, and we reduced our approval ratio from, we were probably 40 to 41% out of the demand that we were receiving, and we shortened that to 37.5%. However, we don't foresee any specific sector as a danger sector that we should might get into. However, due to the prudence strategy, some sectors were a little bit tightened in the credit analysis. For instance, the oil sector, due to the situation of the Pemex restructuring, we have been very, very careful on the analysis of the companies that bring applications regarding that type of services to Pemex. So, but we don't see any other sector in jeopardy regarding 2016.
Okay. Have you ever disclosed how much of the service sector is tied to energy or oil or anything like that?
Not really. I believe that our sectors are well diversified. So we try, like I mentioned, in the growth of office of sales offices for 2016, we want to place a step in Ciudad del Carmen, which is the oil main area in the country, just to look and understand what the actors in that area are performing. So we want to understand very well the sector and see if we want to enter that sector for 2016.
Okay, and the leverage target?
We believe if we keep on growing and due to the requirement of funding, we might expect something between 3 and 3.5. Financial leverage, not total leverage, financial leverage.
Okay, excluding the non-recourse.
Excluding the non-recourse securitizations.
Right.
Yeah, that's why we believe that we will continue doing the securitizations ABSs because they're non-recourse, so they would not apply for leverage calculations.
Okay, and just one more quick one on the competitive landscape. I know, I think CIT had a Mexico business, right? They sold to somebody else. Have you seen any
Yes.
major changes in the competition or anything?
No, not really. Not really. The main competitors, they remain the same. We separate them in four main competitors. The independent ones, which the difference between them and Unifin is quite large. Then you have the bank-related ones, the international ones, and the brand leasing companies. So they have remained the same. As you well know, GE Capital went out of the market. They were bought by private funds, and we don't know yet if they're going to continue doing the business. So right now, we believe that competition will remain the same, and no newcomers will enter probably the market.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're very welcome, David.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Jorge Moran from SPX Capital.
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my question. It's regarding the financial margin. We saw a sequential decline this quarter of close to 12%. And when you look at the components, it's mainly because of higher interest expenses. And I wonder if you can give us some color on why did the interest expense increase in this quarter, and maybe what should we expect for next year? I mean, is this your new run rate of interest expense, or did we see any one-off this quarter?
Thank you, John. Well, the margin interest expense. Hold on a second, please. Okay, we made an allowance in this quarter of the interest to be paid for the high yield bond, and so that increased the interest expenses in the margin.
How much was that allowance?
Hold on, let me look at the numbers. Close to 180, close to 190 million pesos of that allowance.
Okay, so
because it's usually about 33 million monthly, more or less.
So something that was 33 a month, let's call it 100 a quarter, this quarter was 180.
Oh.
So is it fair to say that you had 80 of one-off, is that right?
Yeah, but remember that allowance was for 6 months period.
6 months.
Okay. The
maybe
interest rate, the interest,
half,
the interest paid to the bond is semi-annually. So it was 33 million pesos monthly for 6 months, roughly 190 million pesos.
Okay. So if I want to normalize this, 355 million that you reported as interest expense, this should have been 41 million lower this quarter. If you didn't have this allowance, is that right?
Probably yes. We will have to look at the information and may follow with you with this question, if you may.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. And
okay.
And just one last one on the G&A, similar. I mean, on this quarter, sequentially, it increased roughly 30%. Is it this related to like end of year bonuses or something like that? I mean, is this a new base for next year or? Should I make some adjustments to this figure of 231 million pesos?
The revenues, it will remain the same. Even though, well, we will have the new offices that we might open, but like I mentioned before, those expenses are pretty non-material, they're pretty low. But as a percentage of revenues, they will remain the same.
Okay, so that's roughly 12%, all right?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Once again, we are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Dan Furtado with Investor.
Hey, guys. Excuse the ignorance here, but how come the high-yield bond isn't just the interest isn't recognized on a straight-line basis? Why is there a true-up?
Yes, they are recognized in a line process. The only thing that we did was to create an allowance for the period.
But I guess an allowance. Why would there be an allowance this period and not last period?
¿Que por qué no se hizo una reserva?
The allowance is created every single period. You might see that. However, if there's any difference, we would be gladly to explain it to you.
So, in other words, the $355 million in interest we should expect that relatively consistent going forward. There isn't any one-timers in there.
No, no, no. You will continue to see that.
Okay, okay. So the 355-ish, you know, plus or minus, depending on what you do on the financing side and the native interest rates, is a good kind of baseline to think about, as well as call it 12.5% for G&A to revenues.
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Once again, we're in a holding for questions. Please press star 1 at this time if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Jose Maria Munoz for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, operator. Thank you all for your trust and interest in Unifin and participating in our conference call. We look forward to continue getting to know you. In case you have any additional questions or any additional need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our management team is here to answer all your questions. We look forward to hearing from you, and have a good day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.